So I'm Rachel Peters. I work in Brooklyn at SUNY Downstate Medical Center, and I work for the POWER program, Peer Outreach Workers Engagement and Retention. And let's see. Oh, I have no relationships to disclose, but I would like to disclose that I am on maternity leave. I have a 10-week-old and haven't gotten much sleep in 10 weeks, and last night especially so. So I'm hoping that I make sense, and I apologize if I don't. That's my real disclosure. So I'm just going to briefly go over the epidemiological data, review the project that POWER was created for, and describe our intervention and the training of our peer outreach workers. I'm going to give a little bit of qualitative feedback on why we think what we're doing is working. So for those of you who work in HIV, which is probably most of you, this information is not new, but it's possible we attracted some other APHA folks. So just the quick and dirty on HIV and this population is that HIV disproportionately affects people of color. Women of color, primarily African American and Latina women, are dying from AIDS-related illnesses. And women delay, defer, or are otherwise undertreated for HIV. This is a CDC slide that shows the disproportionate disease burden. While African American women make up only 14% of the population, which you can see on the pie on the right, they account for 66% of women with HIV in the United States. And similarly, not as disproportionate, but Latina women make up 11% of the population and 14% of women living with HIV. Due to this disease burden shouldered by women of color and the finding that women are not optimally engaged in their medical care, the Health Resources and Services Administration, HRSA, Special Project of National Significance, so I'm following you guys in long acronyms, SPINS division, started the Enhancing Access to and Retention in Quality HIV/AIDS Care for Women of Color initiative. And 11 sites were funded by this initiative starting 2 years ago, including POWER in Brooklyn. And we have just finished the first year of 3 years of data collection. So the initiative is seeking interventions that target barriers to entry and engagement in medical care for women of color. It is looking at the relative success of the interventions among the 11 sites and the generalizability of the successful interventions. And we're hoping to see an increase in women who are in consistent medical care, have improved clinical indicators, specifically higher T cell count and undetectable viral load, and that women report an improved self-assessed health and reduced barriers to medical care. POWER is located in central Brooklyn, which is an epicenter of HIV in the borough. We are part of the FACES network, which is comprised of 8 HIV clinics in Brooklyn and is a long-standing functioning network of providers also funded by HRSA to provide case management services. POWER works at 5 of these 8 clinics, and the peers work closely with the network case managers. This is a map of Brooklyn. POWER takes place at the Brooklyn Hospital Center, Interfaith Medical Center, Housing Works, and Heat and Faces, which are both adolescent clinics, part of SUNY Downstate Medical Center. Central Brooklyn is represented in the red circle, and 4 of the clinics are located within Central Brooklyn. The 2 that are outside are in downtown Brooklyn, which is easily accessible by public transportation. So our intervention is essentially about pairing peer outreach workers with the backbone of case management services that already exist in our network. The peers are HIV-positive women of color who receive care at one of our network clinics. They are hired as part of the clinical team. So they're paid a salary and are integrated part of the clinic. They take part in case conferences and interface with their clients, medical providers, and case managers. The peers engage women who are newly diagnosed with HIV, have dropped out of medical care, or who are deemed at risk of dropping out of medical care. They also target clients who are transitioning from adolescent to adult care. So the peers are outreach workers. They spend most of their time in the field. They do home visits and escort clients to visits, both medical and to other social service agencies. They remind clients of appointments via text, Facebook, phone, checking in, knocking on doors. And they check in every 2 weeks to keep the client engaged, even when a medical appointment is not due. They use motivational interviewing to work with the client on what is important to them and help the clients to reach their goals. Peers see themselves as the bridge to other services at the clinic and elsewhere. The client will often open up to them because of their shared experiences, and the peer will then refer them to case management, medical, housing, legal, etc. So essential to this project is peer training. Peers are trained as outreach workers, and they've also been trained as the researchers for our project. This training took place when they were initially hired over 12 full day sessions and happens continually during individual and group supervision. And I really recommend using the Peer Center if anybody's looking into working with peers. They provide free curricula and really were helpful for us in structuring our training. We focused our training on four areas, the peer role, HIV 101, and other information-based topics. Workplace basics, as many of our peers were new to the working world or new to working within a medical environment. And we also focused on evaluation and implementation. So peers are becoming more commonly used in clinics, but we have found less evidence of peers being used as researchers. The first hurdle for training peers as researchers was training them in research with human subjects. The peers have a varied educational background, and the online training is at a really high literacy level. And I'm hoping with the rise of community-based participatory research, a training will be created for low literacy folks. But in the meantime, I trained the peers by taking the City course, which is a course that researchers can take online, and making it into a two-day interactive training. And then we use the peers' experiences being involved with research themselves or just being HIV positive and their concerns around confidentiality to ground the training. And then the peers did take the online test for certification. The peers were also trained in gaining consent and implementing two 23-page surveys. Really complex surveys that I did not design. For the consent process and in implementing the survey, we found that it was really crucial to give a lot of time for training and review. We actually probably took about a month of training time before the peers actually went out into the field and started using the tools. Role play is essential in giving peers real time to practice and get used to the instrument, and for the trainer and other peers to provide feedback. Creating a culture where feedback is encouraged and the workers are seen as valuable to each other is really important in gaining the in multiple perspectives. The peers often have a perspective closest to that of the client, and so have the best suggestions on how to implement the survey. They should feel part of the outreach team, of the research team, and important in the process for optimal results. Even after you think the peers have mastered the survey tool, it's important to keep monitoring the actual surveys and to do periodic review sessions and check-ins, as mistakes do happen, and if they're repeated, can become normal. Some peers may need extra support. I have one peer who reads at a fifth grade reading level, and she masters these complex tools, but with a little bit of help. So with the multiple skip patterns, which could confuse anybody, we ended up doing a color coding scheme to follow along based on color, not based on reading of directions. And also after listening to her in role play and also observing her using the tool with a client, making specific notes for her individually. So it is possible to use these kinds of tools with low literacy folks, but they just need a little bit more assistance and flexibility along the way. So I would say that challenges for having a peer program like this and in using peers as researchers is hiring, finding someone who's the right fit, as well as somebody who's willing to take a benefits gamble. My staff all think getting paid and being an employee and part of the clinical team is crucial, but the trade-off is losing benefits, and they've all lost some amount of benefits by taking on this position. Unfortunately, the way benefits work, you can't know upfront what you're going to lose, so it is a gamble. We talked about training already, but I think mostly training is a challenge because it's really time-consuming. Similarly, supervision is demanding on the supervisor. This person needs to have the time to dedicate, a lot of time to dedicate to the staff member, maybe twice the time of another staff member. Documentation needs to be closely monitored and routinely checked. Supervision is important to review the training boundaries and to assist peers in what they are experiencing on the job. For my staff, they take their job incredibly seriously, and they really bring the work home with them. When a client's not doing well, it really wears on them. And so they need help with, just like we all do, but with separating work from their own lives. And in addition, they are the peers are clients, and so they have their own stressors of their own life that they need help with and support through. So we don't yet have the quantitative data from this because we've just completed our first year of collecting data. But we're also conducting a qualitative evaluation, looking at stakeholders' attitudes towards power. And these are a few patient quotes. And they feel like they really get it to the heart as to why we developed this project and why we believe it will be successful. I'll read this, the first one. Oh, I just noticed there's a screen here. The fact that you have somebody that you can call to talk to when you need somebody to assist you, somebody who knows what you are going through, basically somebody who is going to keep you on point. Because a lot of females, well, a lot of people in general feel down dealing with HIV and AIDS. With that, having a peer, you have somebody who is your age, going through or has gone through a similar situation. They can relate. So that's the end of my talk. Thank you. This is a thank you to the people that have worked with us in developing this. And if you have any questions. Does anybody have any questions? You don't have to email you. Yeah. Unfortunately, with a paper survey, a tablet computer would have been amazing, and I really pushed for it, but financially was not possible across the multi-sites. There's 11 sites, and we needed to have it look the same across, and we just couldn't get that going by the time we got into the intervention and realized how complex the surveys were. I think if you were doing using peers as researchers, a tablet would be much easier than paper. Although you couldn't make the kinds of tailored alterations that I did do on a tablet, right? So you probably couldn't, you wouldn't have need to go through and color code because it would instantly do the skip pattern, but you couldn't be like, Lauren, you always forget this question, like, don't forget it. You know, you couldn't make it specific in that way. The City Course is just what we use at Downstate. It was, I don't know, do other people use different ones, City Course as well? I just would Google it, CITI. And that is what's required by our IRB in order to do research with human subjects. Yeah? So we have one part-time staff member and three full-time staff members. All of them are paid a little bit differently at their sites. I think they're all paid in the high 20s, but I'm not remembering if that's before or after. Like, I know what we give to the sites to pay them, and I'm not sure what's taken out for for their benefits. But I'm not sure what goes into their pocket. But yeah. But because all the peers have different dependents and different, anyway, sorry, the benefits were really variable, what was lost, depending on what they came in with. Thank you.